I guess he has officially scraped the bottom of the barrel. I think I got this thing going here. But nonetheless, I thank God for the opportunity to stand. I'm kind of nervous standing up here. I got my instructors here this morning and from school and just many other things, and just unnerves you. You know, as any preacher, when you prepare, I mean, you're all the time, you got that in the back of your mind. And you're all the time wanting to I guess you want to look good in front of everybody, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to magnify God and to lift Him up and magnify Christ. And that's what I hope to do this morning. If you've got your Bible, let's go to John chapter 4. And since this is a Bible conference, I am going to read about 30 verses, so just hang with me. John chapter 4, very familiar story about this woman here at this well, the Samaritan woman. And I just want to glean a little bit out of this morning. John chapter 4, if you'll stand with me in reverence to God's Word. John chapter 4 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and whom it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in these mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where man ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. And God, how it speaks to our hearts, Father. We realize that any attempt that I may make today is feeble at the most. And God, we just ask for your help. We ask, Father, you begin even now to speak to hearts, to draw people unto you, Father, in this place. And God, we're looking to you to work, looking to you to speak and do that which only you can. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. This story here is about a simple thing. It's about, to me, a thirst. This is probably one of my favorite stories in all the Bible, this Samaritan woman, because I can so put myself in her place, or I can put myself where she was living at, in the situation she was living in. I'm able to take my situations and put it right here in this text, and I thank God that I can do that here. I can do that in many places within the Word of God, but this one is kind of special to me. This here has this story, I guess if I had a title, it'd be Creating a Thirst. Because the day and time in which we live in, it seems like everybody drinks from a different cup. They drink from a different well. They drink from a different place. It seems like everybody's going out in the world trying to find something that has a better flavor or something that's more satisfying to them. But here, this woman, she goes to the well, no doubt. Here, she's going here to this well to draw her daily portion of water, to go back to her house and live her life just as she's done every day. Just like she'd done day in and day out the whole time that she'd been here. But this day, there was a difference in the water that she was going to take back home. There's going to be a difference in this lady and what she carries back with her this day. Let's just take and go through these verses and let's see what the Lord has for us to unpack here. First of all, I'd like to look at a trip that takes place in verses 1 through 6. A trip. Let's read them again. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard," I'm in the wrong place, no I'm not, "had heard Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee." There's a practical trip that takes place here. A trip that had been taken many times. Many people had traveled this trip. But in one sense it was practical. In another sense it was impractical. Because Jesus here, he goes through this little town of Samaria. Now, you know the Jewish people viewed the Samaritans as no more than dogs. They were just the underlings. They were the lowest point of society. Just like society looks down upon many people today. That's the way the Jews were viewing these Samaritan people. It's like society would look into a third world country and say, "Well, I don't understand why they live like that, why they do what they're doing, why they go the way that they're going." That's the way the Jews felt about these Samaritan people. They had no relationship with them whatsoever. They did not talk to them. They did not correspond in any way. As a matter of fact, this trip is odd in the fact that Jesus even went through Samaria. While the Jews would travel miles and miles out of their way to get around Samaria just to keep from having to be around the Samaritan people. Now, you know, this kind of spoke to me on my own life on how, you know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to avoid people. And we spend a lot of time trying to stay away from people. Whether it be down at the Walmart when you go down another aisle to duck away from someone, or whether it be at the house of God where you sit on the opposite side of the church just so you don't have to speak to someone on Sunday morning. Now, this happens. We all take a trip. And boy, how there's been some trips taken in this place this week. Why, my, how Christ has took a trip into my own life and took me down some avenues in my own heart and in my own life and helped me deal with some things this week. I thank God for some trips that take place. Now, Christ here, He traveled north up through the country of Ephraim here, up through the mountains, the hill country of Ephraim. It's a desolate place. There's just not much there. And He comes here into this little town here on this trip. And I thank God that not only was it a practical trip, but it was a planned trip in verses 4 through 6. He said, and He must needs go through Samaria. My, what truth in such few little words. It says, then cometh He to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was a planned trip. I thank God for planned trips in my life. I'm so glad that one Sunday evening he seemed fit to plan a trip to come by my way. Now, you might not believe that. You might believe that it's just come whenever you want, whatever you want. But Jesus has a plan for us, the plan of when we come to know Him, a plan of when He speaks to our heart. It's all planned out, just like this woman. Jesus knew she was going to that well. He knew the time she would be there. He knew the hour in which she would arrive. And He knew where He needed to be in order to speak to her. Just like this morning in this place, He knew who was going to be here. He knew what your heart needed. And no doubt He has prepared these words for your heart. Not only what is here within this text, but these other men that's coming behind me, their words in which they will speak out of the Word of God are prepared and planned to speak to your heart today. But this was a planned trip. It was planned in the way of the direction that it went. Like I said, it went through Samaria. Jews did not go through Samaria. I don't know if you realize the importance in that today. When Christ, when He had that thought, in verse number 48, He says, and He must needs go through Samaria. There was some business that needed to take place in Samaria. So Christ goes here and He finds this well, and He sits down upon this well because He's weary. He's weary from the trip. He's tired. He's thirsty. Well, my goodness, He's been traveling through the mountains. He's been traveling through this hill country. I don't know if any of you hike or anything, but I like to hike. I like to get outdoors, and there's been times I've been thirsty. Walking around through the woods, and you get thirsty. And you want something to satisfy that thirst. It's just like walking through the wilderness of this world. Well, my goodness, after a while you begin to thirst for some things. You begin to long for something to satisfy that deep thirst that is deep down within you. And that's what is happening here. There's a thirst, but you know this story is not really about Christ's own thirst. It's about the thirst of that woman. It's all about the thirst in which that woman had within her. That's what makes this story special to me, because one day I was thirsty. One day I was longing and hurting for a cool drink of water, and Christ came by my way and gave me that drink of water. But it was a planned trip. He said He had to go through Samaria. He had to go through this certain little city in Samaria near this parcel of ground of Jacob's well. And I'm not going to get into all that, but because Brother Dagenhart's basically already spoke on all that, this parcel of ground here and how it was given to Joseph here by Jacob. And how here, how all this is happening, and how His well is here, and how now Jesus is sitting here, and this woman says it's about the sixth hour. Now this is odd. This is odd that it's about noontime. It's about midday, and here comes this woman to draw water from the well. Now that wasn't how things worked. You don't draw water at the hottest part of the day while you're back home. Why? I know growing up on the farm, we didn't work in the hottest part of the day. We got up early, we'd do our work, and during the hot part of the day, we'd relax a little bit and wait for the evening time to come to go back and finish up whatever type of work we started that morning, because it's just too hot to work. Now this woman, she's doing her work in the day. Why? Because she was an outcast. My, how I love to see how Christ, within His life, He took time to speak to those that were outcasts. Not only do we see a trip that takes place, and my, how I thank God for the trips in my life, the times in my life that He's allowed me to take trips, not just in a physical sense, but in His Word, He's allowed me to take trips down avenues of His Word, and how they've spoke to my heart, and how they take a trip into my heart and speak to me. But thank God for His trips. But also, secondly, there's a talk that ensues between our Lord and Savior and this Samaritan woman. It's a practical talk. It's a practical talk. Verses 7 through 9. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now I have no problem with that. He's thirsty. He's thirsty. He wants something to drink. Well, when you get thirsty, if you're over at somebody's house, you're not asked for something to drink? Ask them to give you something to drink? That's what Jesus has done here. He's asked this woman for something to drink. But He's sitting up. He's setting her up for bigger business and something bigger that's going to happen. It says, for His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, why is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. It was a practical talk. Just an everyday conversation. I'm thirsty. Do you mind getting me something to drink? Now, if I'm at Mama's house, or if I'm at my own house, if I get thirsty, I go get me something. But now if I'm at your house, I'm not going to get up and go rummaging through your cabinets to find me a glass to get me a drink of water. I'm going to ask for it. And that's what Christ has done here with this woman. He said, can you get me something to drink? I'm thirsty. By how this speaks of the humanity of our Savior. He's thirsty. He's weary from this trip, and he's tired, and he's thirsty. It gives me hope because I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm tired this morning. It's been a long week. It's been a long week, although I may be physically tired deep within me. Oh my, I'm refreshed. Why? Because I'm telling you, last night, oh my goodness, went by well, got a drink of water that refreshed something within me, and I thank God for that tonight, or this morning. I thank Him for that night, for coming by and saying, I'm thirsty, and allowing me to get before Him and to work before Him and get some things straightened out within myself. Oh my, what a Savior we serve. What a Savior we serve. But it was just a practical talk. It was, you know, it was not impractical for Jesus to talk to those that were outcast. Well, my goodness, those that ragtag bunch He had following Him around the country, every one of them was an outcast, you know, and speaking in society type way. Why, good grief, you and I sitting here this morning, people think we're crazy because we've gathered ourselves together in the house of God to open His Word and study His Word here in a Bible conference. They think we're absolutely nuts because we do that. We're outcasts. With society, this way society looks at it. But my, how Christ has a different viewpoint on that. He says, socially you may be an outcast. He said, but you're mine. And that's kind of the title. That's the title He's putting on this woman this morning here by starting up this conversation. Christ knows she has a need in her life. He knows where she stands with God, and He knows that she has a great, great need for Him. Not only was it a practical talk, but it was a promising talk. Verses 10 through 26, here Christ begins to explain to her, and He gives her the promise that He is that living water. He is that everlasting water, that the water in which He gives, if she drinks of that, she'll never thirst again. Now, she's going down here to draw this well, and I got to thinking on this, how we, when we're lost, we spend a lot of time, there's a void within us. And I got to thinking, oh my, how the Christ of heaven, back in the beginning of time, He began to dig a well. And there as He began to dig that well, He came and robed Himself with this flesh and in the process of digging that well. And there as He dug that well, He filled it with water when He went and He hung on the cross at Calvary. He filled that well to the fullest of its capacity. And then He done the finishing work when He arose 3 days later. He took the bucket and He dipped the water out of the well and He gave it to us to drink. Oh my, what a picture. What a picture right here within this text of what Christ has done for us. Boy, I thank God. I thank God what He done. The promises within His Word. Here she, here within this talk, this promising talk that ensues. Here in verses 10 through 26. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe this woman knew a thing or two about church. Well, the conversation she carries on here, she knew a thing or two about the Word of God. Matter of fact, I know I don't say this. This is just me. It wouldn't bother me to say that she was probably a church woman. She was probably just like our normal Baptist church member sitting on a pew. But she had some things within her life that wasn't right with God. I know that I've been there. I've been there. Oh my, I've been there. You come into church, you drag in, you're tired, you're weary, you don't even want to be here to begin with. You're just here to save face. You nod your head. Some of you are here for that reason this morning. You're here just to save face because it's where you need to be. You think it's where you ought to be. People are looking at you and depending on you. You're not here for the right reasons. This woman here, she talks a little bit about her worship and about how her fathers had worshipped there in those mountains. That wasn't the place of worship. The place of worship was over there in Israel. That's where they were supposed to be worshiping at, not here in these mountains. That's where they were worshiping at. And she's saying, well, bless God, it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. You know, I'm going to be the first to say this morning, what was good enough for my ancestors is not good enough for me this morning. Oh my, I want more. Oh, I want God to speak. I want Him to work. I want Him to move. I want Him to work in my life. I want Him to do more with me than He done with my ancestors. This woman here, she's getting ready. She's getting ready to be used in that way. Yep. Well, my goodness, if you look back through my family, there's nothing but a bunch of old farmers and bootleggers. Both sides, that's all you see. There's no ancestry there. There's nothing biblical to stand on. But God began to save some of my family members. He saved my grandfather after his 18-year-old son was killed in an automobile accident. That's what it took for God to prick his heart. And there, after that, he gave up the bottle. He was a drunk alcoholic. He would go home, beat his children and his wife. But after that, oh my, there was love in that household. He began to build something in my ancestry. On my father's side, my daddy's side, there's just not much there. That was the bootleggers and that was the alcoholics. I mean, his whole family's laced with it. But my, how God spoke to my dad's heart and how he worked in his life and how he worked in his heart to bring him to a saving knowledge of Christ. God began to build something in my life, and oh my, I don't want it to stop with me. I want to stay in this thing. This conversation that this woman has, it's just an everyday conversation, but oh my, she's talking to the God of heaven. And oh my, how I want to keep that conversation going. It started years ago. And oh my, how I want to stay with Him. And how I want that talk to be pure. And how I want that talk to be wonderful. Oh my, the promises of God. Not only do we see a trip, not only do we see a talk, but look with me thirdly, there's a transformation that takes place here in verses 27 through 30. There's more I could say on these verses. Oh, there's way more I could say on them. But I'm going to leave that up to the Holy Ghost to use it in your heart. Verse 27 through 30 says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman." Now these men have been gone. God's been working. God's been going. You know what? They're about like that bunch that wasn't here last night that missed out on what was going on around here. God was working and God was having his way and doing what he needed to be done. And here, this bunch is gone, and they marveled that he talked with this woman. Just like a lot of them, when they watch that DVD, they're going to marvel over what was going on. They're going to begin to say, you know, what in the world's got into these people? What's going on? That's what they were saying about our Savior. They're saying, what in the world's got into this man? He's talking to a Samaritan woman, and he's not supposed to be doing that. It says, "Yet no man said, why seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" Why? Because the Holy Ghost had already sat down on the scene, had already touched down, and was doing the work. Why, if these men would have opened their mouth, if they would have spoke out of the way, if they would have spoke any harsh words to this woman, why, that door would have closed. But God was doing a great work, and God seen a need. Let's finish reading these verses, and then we're going to elaborate on them. Then the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the man, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. It was a powerful, powerful transformation. Here, this transformation that took place, it brought both saint and sinner together. And it bonded within this woman's heart a pure life. It gave her hope for tomorrow. Why, no doubt, as she had went to that well time and time again to draw water from that well, she was broken. She was lonely. She was going out there by herself while the other women in the village would not even talk to her. They would not socialize with her because of her past, because of the way she lived. Matter of fact, it talks over there about those husbands she had, those five husbands that she had. And he said, "The man you're living with now, well, he's not even your husband." Well, she was shacked up over in Samaria with some old boy that wasn't even her husband. And these women shunned her for that. Not only the women there in the town, but many others shunned her for that. But it was a powerful transformation. This transformation that happened, no longer was that going to happen in her life. No longer, we'll get to it in a little bit, but there's getting ready to come a time when she's not going to be shunned down at the well no more. She's going to be welcome down there along with anybody else that wanted to stop by and get a drink of water. But I'm telling you what, the conversation changed down at the well. The conversation changed. The tones of those women. No longer did those women go out there early in the morning. And no longer were they murmuring among themselves and talking about this certain woman that lived over here that had all these husbands and they had that guy she shacked up. No, none of that went on anymore. The conversation changed. It just totally changed. It was a powerful transformation. Just like in your own life and in your own heart. When God spoke to you, there was a powerful transformation took place. Transformation, I'm sorry. Mispronounced. See, brother, I can slay the English language just like that fellow you was talking about. But it was powerful. Oh my, the power that ensued here on the scene when God sat down on the scene and He began to work in this woman's heart and He told her all she'd ever done. I like verse 29. Oh, I like verse 20. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Verse number 29. It says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" He'd already told her who He was. He already said, "I'm Him. I'm the one that you've been looking for. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm the one." Just like Christ has showed up to some of you, there's some of you sitting here this morning that has never accepted Him as Savior of your life. You've never acknowledged Him. He spoke to you. He's told you, "Here I am. I'm knocking. I'm talking to you. Here I am." But you've never acknowledged. You've never acknowledged like she did. She ran back to that village. You see, she left that water pot. Now, we can get into the value of that water pot and all that, but that really important. Well, basically, what she done, she left that worldly junk behind, and she ran back into that village. She said, "Come see a man which told me all that I done. Is not this? Is not this the Christ?" He said, I found the one they've been talking about over there. I found the one that everybody's been preaching about and they've been sharing with everybody else. I found Him. He's down here at the well. And fellas, you ain't going to believe this, but He's down there. He asked me for a drink of water. Why, my goodness, some of these men that she run back to and talked to were probably some of the same men that she'd laid in their beds, maybe even the night before. This woman, oh my, the power that took place here, the changing that took place in this little village. Oh my, how God was where He says, "Then they went out of the city and came unto Him." Well, my goodness, say this, they flocked to Him. They flocked to Him. Oh my, wouldn't it do us good? Wouldn't it do us good to flock to Him? Get to Him. Get to where He wants us to be. Oh my, the transformations that could take place right here in Calvary Baptist Church if we just flock to Him. Quit trying to do it on our own. Get to Him. Let Him handle it. Let Him deal with it. Let Him draw the water. Just sit back and partake of it. Just sit back and take that cool drink of water in which He offers. You see, I like this verse over here. Verse 13 says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He puts something within you when He saves you. He plants something deep down inside. You say, "Well, what is it?" It's that well of water, that well of water that's springing up. You see, this week I've seen some come in here and they've come in, they've brought their Bible and they take their Bible and they sit down on a pew. And they sit there and they lay their Bibles. They never open the Word of God the whole time through in these services. They sit there and they stare at the man of God with a blank look on their face. You say, "Well, what's wrong with them?" They ain't got no spring. They don't have anything bubbling up within them. They don't have anything working within them. They don't have any communication. They don't have that transformation. Never took place in some of them. Some of them, the old waters grew kind of stagnant and stale. And the water's no longer drinkable. That well that was planted within them, through the life that they've lived, they've tainted that water. We need God, folks. We need Him to work. We need Him to help us. Now I know that this is a Bible conference, and I know that it's you know, around the Word of God, and mostly I know that I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But we need Him. If you don't need Him, I need Him. I need Him to work in my life. I need Him to help me. I need Him to show me the direction in which He has for my life. I need Him to draw that water and give me a drink every now and then when I'm laying over there tired and weary from the journey in the wilderness. I need Him this morning. I need His help. Not only was it a powerful transformation, but it was a proclaiming transformation. Verses 29 and 30, we've already read them. It says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." My, I like it. Oh my. "Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. She had to go tell somebody what was happening down there at the well. She couldn't hold it in. Just like when you left here last night. Don't tell me you didn't pick up the phone and call somebody. Tell somebody about what God was doing down at His house. I know you did. I wanted to, but it's so late and I got home and everybody's already in the bed. But you want to tell folk when God's working and when He's trying to do something in your life and in your heart. When He shows up around the house of God, I love to get out there and tell others what he's been doing. Say, my, you won't believe how God stopped by and just showed out yesterday. Or how God stopped by and how he spoke to my heart. You know, sometimes this proclaiming, all this proclaiming that takes place, sometimes it's an inward proclaiming. Sometimes it just happens within you. Sometimes God don't show up and bust out. Sometimes you just sit back there and you can't do nothing but sit there and weep. And you might be the only one in the building, but God's speaking. God's drawing. God's pulling. God's working. He's wanting to do something, proclaiming. Look with me quickly, and I'm done. The rest of the story. Verse 39 through 42. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Simply because this woman went and proclaimed what God done for her, many, many believed. When's the last time you proclaimed? Just leave it at that. When's the last time you proclaimed? "So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Our words are important. What we have to say about the Word of God is important. The preaching of God's Word is very vital and important in the world in which we live today. But if He's not speaking, if He's not moving, if He's not working, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. He is working here. He is working here. He's working here. He's working here. Well, my goodness, I don't know about you, but just this week, this message just it hit home. It hit everything that's been preached out of this pulpit this week. It's just been a home run hit in my life. God has helped me. God has worked. He's took a trip down the avenues of my heart. He's had this talk within me. He's talked to me about some of these things, and there's been some transformation taking place within me this week, and I thank Him for that. Why you say, well, why is all that happening? Not just because of the Word of God that's been proclaimed, not just because of the Word of God that's been heralded out of this pulpit this week, but because of verse 42. It says, "And they said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ.'" They heard him. They heard him themselves. He stuck around a couple of days. In a short time, he began a great work there in that city of Samaria. He set up something that's going to last eternal. Folks, I know it's just been a week. It's been four short days. But my God has spoke. God has worked and set up something eternal. What has He done for you? How is He speaking to you? Do you come thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty? I thought about this. I thought about this back at the beginning of the week. I thought, Lord, oh my, how I'm thirsty. I'm dry. Oh, I was so dry. And oh, how I need you to work, and oh, how I need you to speak to me. That's the attitude that I've had this week, and I thank Him for that. I'm glad that He spoke, and He put that within me. I thank Him. Thank Him, preacher.